In conjunction with the Broadcast Journalism Training Council, is the General Election Results 2015 live on Smoke Radio. We'll be following all the drama as and when it happens. We have reporters at constituencies in Brent, Harrow, Watford and Uxbridge. You'll be able to hear who's been voted in as it comes in, and we'll be talking to reporters from around the country. In conjunction with the Broadcast Journalism Training Council, is the General Election Results 2015 live on Smoke Radio.
Hello and welcome to the General Election 2015, brought to you by Westminster University in association with Smoke Radio and the Broadcast Journalism Training Council. Coming up very soon, we'll be announcing the results of the exit polls, which are usually a key indicator of who will win the election. As this year, an outright majority for any one party is looking unlikely, so, you know, it's going to be interesting. But there will be plenty more ups and downs throughout the night, and we'll be with you every step of the way. We've been busy preparing all sorts of information on the big talking points from this election campaign, including a look at tactical voting and an insightful guide as to how Sunderland can count so fast.
My name's Cassie and this is Jack and you're listening to Smoke Radio. If you want to get in contact with us, if you've got something interesting to say, you can do so. Go to @smoke_radio and you can use the hashtag WELive2015.
We're going to be here with you until 6 a.m. Just looking at the exit polls at the moment, they look massive. We've got to chat about these because that...
So first of all, it's Conservatives look like they're the largest party with the most number of seats so far, followed by Labour, and then
the
we've
Dems.
Got the
SNP
as well. But we'll be bringing you some more information on that
very shortly. But first, so for all of you out there who are pulling election all-nighters,
Just like us.
We'll be up all night. So we thought it would be good advice to give you some advice on how to do an all-nighter properly. I sourced some experts for this. Here's how it sounds.
Yes, caffeine is an incredibly good stimulant for keeping yourself awake and alert long after bedtime, but treat it with respect. Drink roughly half a cup every 2 hours so you never have to deal with the tail end of a come down. Chew on something inedible. By chewing, you send signals to your brain that food, glorious food, is about to plop down into your stomach. As a result, your body releases insulin to deal with the oncoming onslaught, which perks you up and readies you for the task ahead. Of course, eating actual food will lead to the post-meal sleepy lull. Better to avoid the downer by chewing on gum, a pencil, or ideally, a cube of ice. Hold a pair of keys over the armrest. For those who can't face an evening spent shuffling from one foot to the other, a clever trick is to grab your house keys and use them as a prop to stay awake while sitting down. Hold the keys over the side of a chair in a loose grip. If you fall asleep momentarily, you'll find you'll drop them, causing a clatter that's to jolt you back to life. Have a tactical nap. Okay, technically it's cheating, but catch 40 winks in the inevitable anticlimactic lull that lasts from the moment the polls are officially closed until the moment the first result comes in, and you'll stand a much better chance of seeing the night's drama in its entirety. Actually, 20 winks are better than 40. Anything longer than 20 minutes can cause sleep inertia, which is the term given to that groggy, slightly hungover feeling you get when waking up from a long sleep.
But Dom, what about an alcoholic drink or two?
No, it's likely to make you sleepy and the sleep you'll get will not be as refreshing.
So Dom, after all that excitement, what can I do to survive the next day?
Right, get up to natural light as soon as you're able to. It'll help to re-regulate your body clock even if it is cloudy outside.
Which it probably will be.
Uh, That's it. You're listening to Smoke Radio with me, Cassie, and Jack Everett. We are now going to be talking a little bit about Sunderland. Hello, Josh.
Hello, Cassie Galpin and Jack Everett.
How are you doing?
Frankly, I'm bowled over. I'm amazed at the moment. I've just looked at the exit polls, so I'm a little bit in shock.
So, what's your initial reaction?
Well, my initial reaction is the polls have presumably been compiled by people who are blind and haven't been counting correctly, because this is ludicrous.
So you're expecting a different result when we get the results through?
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, this doesn't follow any predictions that you know, of all the polls that you can follow. The polls where the exit polls we're seeing don't have any correlation to the ones that we were seeing pre today.
Yeah, I mean, hey Josh, I mean, the result we see in Scotland, even as we said before, Nicola Sturgeon's come out and said that's highly unlikely on them winning every seat bar one. I mean, yeah.
Josh, you're a student at the University of Westminster.
This is correct.
But you're also from Sunderland.
I am, yep.
Now, Sunderland are usually the first to declare their results.
Indeed, yep.
And am I right in saying that you once attended the last election? You went to a count. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
I would love to. I was but 3 metres from Sophie Raworth, and I threw myself violently with great fervour in front of her to try and gain some attention, to try and get on the cameras of the BBC. But alas, I was unfortunate to miss out. But I did run around with some boxes, and people told me to put boxes in certain places, and it was all very exciting.
So that was as a student?
I was a sixth form student, and I believe it's the sixth form students from my old school, St Aidan's, and another local school, St Anthony's, who are doing it again this evening at the polling, at the count. So it's all good.
And just about Sunderland in general, how do they tend to vote?
I think I'm right in saying that we've been Labour since the year 1074. So I don't see it changing. But I rang a couple of my friends earlier, and I rang my mum and everything to see how she'd voted. Pardon me. And I know there's a lot of UKIP support, which has sort of come from nowhere in Sunderland. Right. Certainly in the European elections, they were second party. So that in itself is a bit of a surprise, perhaps. Looking at history, but I think we strongly expect a Labour victory.
Okay, that's interesting. Are you looking forward to seeing what it's actually going to be?
Oh, certainly. It's I'll be up all night. I've got my cup of coffee ready. I heard your little piece. My cup of coffee will be there every 2 hours, and I'll be up all night watching it, definitely.
And hold a pair of keys.
Always, Jackie. Always. I've got one on point all the time.
All right. Thanks so much, Josh. I think we'll be hearing from you a bit later. I chatted to Josh earlier a little bit about tactical voting and other stuff. So, we'll speak to you later. Thanks so much, Josh,
Wonderful
for talking. Enjoy your all-nighter.
Will do. You too. Bye-bye now.
You're listening to the General Election Results 2015 in conjunction with the Broadcast Journalism Training Council live on Smoke Radio.
That's right, you're listening to Smoke Radio, and we're expecting the results from Sunderland fairly soon, and we have James on the line.
Hello, you all right?
Hi, how are you, James?
Good, thanks, for you?
Good. Now, you are the president of the Green Society, at least you set it up?
Yeah,
at the University of Westminster.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So we're just covering the general election from the University of Westminster on Smoke Radio. And
yep.
We just wanted to know how you feel that members in your party have been, members in your society have been voting today.
I think it'd be quite interesting, actually. I think, because obviously, like, the spread of students, a lot of the polls said that students were most likely to vote between Labour or Green. And I think quite a few students may have voted tactically. But I know quite a few students myself who have said they were going to be voting Green from January onwards, then today they've said they're voting Labour. So I think it could be quite an interesting result. across the board, really, with the Green Party.
Hey, James, it's Jack here. Also, we've seen the phenomenon that's been going online leading up to this election of vote swapping, as particularly between Green and Labour.
Yeah.
Is that something that's been brought up in like your meetings and stuff?
Yeah, well, quite a few people have said about that, and I don't really know how effective it will be. But, people have been saying that they'll be swapping votes with other friends and encouraging their friends to do so, to get them to vote either Labour or Green to make sure that a certain individual goes, doesn't get the seat. I think that kind of shows like how sort of wrong our election system sort of really is.
We're seeing from these polls that Greens are predicted 2 seats.
Yeah.
Would that constitute a good night for the Green Party?
Obviously, it's not like a huge number, but to get 2 seats when they only won 1 seat last time. I mean, if you look 5 years ago, they were polling nowhere near what they are now. And no one really spoke about them up until 2015, really.
And why do you think students in particular would decide to go with the Greens, even if perhaps they haven't voted for them this time and instead voted more tactically? Why are students moving to the Green Party?
I think the Green Party sort of speak more on our level. They understand, like, with the Labour Party and every other party, they're sort of a big, kind of scary to look at. They know what they want and they don't really listen to anything else.
So the campaign's been good for the Green Party?
Yeah, well, I think, Natalie and other members of the party, quite a lot of them were going to different universities across the country and talking to students. And I think that's really engaged with a lot of students doing that compared to just watching them on TV and everything. Mm-hmm. It's more personal, I think.
James... there's been a lot of talk as well about a change in the electoral system, many calling for proportional representation, particularly the Greens. We've seen the tactical vote, and because of this, do you think there will be a change in the next between now and the next election?
It depends who gets in government, really. I can't really imagine either of the main two parties putting it forward. I mean, in the last 5 years, there was the referendum on it, and it wasn't properly the proportional representation, but it was an element of it, and people said no to it. But I think, it all depends on who's actually getting to government, really, and if people come in for it strongly enough.
All right, James, thank you very much for talking to us. Are you pulling in an all-nighter tonight?
I think so, yeah.
Did you hear our tips earlier?
But I think I'll be all right.
Okay, and thank you very much, James. What's your actual, your sort of final reaction? What are you most looking forward to tonight?
I think I'm just excited to see how everyone's voted and what actually happens in the end. I'm hoping it's not going to be what's expected of the exit polls, but we can only wait and see.
Well, thanks a lot. Do get in touch. It's @smoke_radio and using the hashtag WELive2015.
You're listening to the General Election Results 2015 in conjunction with the Broadcast Journalism Training Council live on Smoke Radio. You're listening to the General Election Results 2015 in conjunction with the Broadcast Journalism Training Council live on Smoke Radio.
Yes, that is correct. You are listening to the general election coverage 2015 here on Smoke Radio. We will be now. We've got one of our little special things that Cassie's put together for us. Do you want to intro it, Cassie?
That's right. So I spent a little bit of time just before we started our general election coverage speaking with Geoffrey, and he's the head of department at journalism at the University of Westminster. So we just chatted to him a little bit about past elections and how he thinks this one is going to go ahead. I'm here with Geoffrey. He is the head of the journalism department at the University of Westminster, where we are broadcasting from at the moment. So you've always had a love for politics.
I can actually remember the 59 election sort of being interested. I was 5 or something at the time, and I thought that was quite interesting. I've always been that, and yeah.
So you decided to start a career in television?
No, I didn't even decide. Although I read politics at university, a bit like David Cameron. And in fact, I think 5% of the House of Commons read the same degree I did, which is PPE at Oxford.
Yes.
I didn't go into politics, unlike some of the people who did, and like David Cameron. But I've always been interested in that, and that and live telly. In fact, I think from a very early age, I had this ambition that my interest in television and politics was what I really wanted to do, was to direct the BBC's live coverage of an election, which, sadly, I expect I never will.
But what you did do in 1979 was you covered the election. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, of course, that was, I mean, sorry, I know this is all history to you, but some of us lived through this. Callaghan government failed 78, 79, and a woman called Margaret Thatcher was then the leader of the Conservative opposition. And it was sort of a slam dunk victory for her, which was great to be there. I was working on Thames News, which was the, it's a bit like London Tonight, the regional TV news programme. And we were making inserts to the national coverage for ITN. And it was really exciting. I remember a guy called coming in, a newly elected MP, a man called Tim Brinton, coming in for, he was the MP for Gravesham, I think. And that was actually quite exciting because I can remember watching Tim Brinton when he was an ITN newscaster. It was sort of not quite touching fame exactly, but it was quite fun. And it was just very good. It was a very long night. And I just remember it being really exciting seeing, you know, because so many Labour seats went in that election.
So thinking back to now, how sort of do you see tonight playing out?
I think tonight's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be very interesting.
Because that's what everyone's been saying, but no one can really...
Well, I mean, in a way, tonight's going to be interesting because, I mean, there's going to be the to and fro as to some seats are going to go. I don't think UKIP are going to get many more than perhaps one. They might even lose the two seats they've got. I don't think Farage will get in. I think that they're not good. The risk is they will bite into the Tory vote, and the Tories could then, certain seats would find they actually lose to Labour. Watford is one of those. I think he's only got a majority of 2,000. You know, UKIP could make quite a big impact on that.
And Boris in Uxbridge?
Slam dunk, no problem. You know, okay. Come on. Can you imagine him not getting in?
And then just back again, you were a student at Oxford.
Yep. I was in 1974. There were two elections that year. Ted Heath faced down the miners and lost. Harold Wilson got in and then had a second election in October. And that was interesting because that year I was a first year undergraduate and we were watching it because my economics tutor was working as a statistician on behalf of a man called David Butler, who is a well-known cephalologist. And we were all sitting there every time we saw a shot of Professor John Kay, as he is now, handing up a piece of paper. This shows how far along ago it was, handing up a piece of paper saying, oh, it's a swing of X percent. We'd all go, yeah. Anyway, it's just looking back, of course, and I realise now there was a young man called Blair would have been sitting somewhere probably behind me watching the telly. Tony Blair. Don't know what happened to him.
So Tony Blair, Ed Miliband now, who do you think it will be as simple as we'll have a Prime Minister
no.
in the morning?
Well, I think it's a story we haven't done, but I think it's worth saying that when we had the woman who is directing the BBC election coverage came in to talk to students here about 2 months ago, she let slip that she's been told to be on standby for 3 weeks. In terms of covering what may happen in this election.
Are you going to be here this long?
I'm reckoning on going home to bed by about midday tomorrow. But I mean, I think she's on call to deal with this because I think the negotiations are going to be very interesting. And I mean, it's just meat and drink to the Westminster Village at the end of the day. I mean, I think what will be interesting is if Cameron, sits it out in number 10, which he's entitled to, absolutely, whether he thinks he can get the Queen's Speech through, because that's what it comes to. Yeah. You elect by number of seats, and if they can't get the majority in the House, that's it. Long night ahead, but I think an interesting one.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it goes. Thank you very much.
Tweet us at @smoke_radio with the hashtag WE2015 to get involved. In conjunction with the Broadcast Journalism Training Council, it's the General Election Results 2015 live on Smoke Radio.
That's right, you're listening to Smoke Radio. It's me, Cassie and Jack. And if you want to get involved, tweet us at @smoke_radio or use the hashtag WEElectionLive.
We are now joined by Kate Borsa, who is at Uxbridge.
Hi, folks. Hello.
Hello. How are you, Kate?
All right. Thank you very much. It's all very exciting here in Uxbridge. We didn't anticipate the arrival of Boris Johnson until much later on in the evening, but he's arrived. We've got a lovely video clip of him on our Facebook page if people want to have a look at that, and on Twitter as well. And Boris is here and doing the round, shaking a lot of hands, doing a lot of smiling. It is a Conservative safe seat, so we're not really in too much doubt as to whether he's going to be elected or not. This is pretty much his. We'd be very, very surprised if the result was anything different to that. But the good news is that he's here and he's mixing with some of the other candidates as well.
So all the other candidates have arrived. Was he the first, or was he...
He wasn't the first, no. We've got several candidates here. You can see a lot of people mixing around. We've got quite a few candidates here in total. Two that stick out are for the Monster Raving Loony Party, Howling Lord Hope, and a male accessory, both here in very large hats and coats adorned with mirrors and all sorts of jazz as well. So a few of the candidates are here. And, of course, the result of the count not revealed until 6 a.m. this morning. So I think a lot of the candidates will be pacing themselves here today. So that's why it's a little bit of a surprise to see Boris so early, really. I suspect he'll head off for a few hours, maybe try and grab a little bit of sleep before arriving back in time for the announcement at approximately 6 a.m. this morning.
We've seen the exit polls have shaken everyone a little bit. What's the feeling down there, especially amongst the Conservatives, I guess? Are they as happy and jolly as you'd expect after that?
Well, of course, we've seen in the exit polls released by the BBC that the Conservatives are in the lead, and by quite some amount, although they don't, of course, have a majority enough to be voted straight into government. This is a safe Tory seat. In fact, the Tory margin in the last election, 2010, was 25%. So that tells you just how resoundingly Tory Uxbridge and South Ruislip is. In fact, the Conservatives have been in power in this constituency for the last 13 general elections. So the Conservatives are pretty chipper here, as you'd expect. And I think for the other parties that are here, well, they won't, of course, be expecting to take the seat, but it's about how much they can make a dent in Boris's vote. I can't see that happening, I have to say. Everyone's so pro-Conservative around here, and everyone's a little bit starstruck by Boris as well. So it's not the Conservative factor that will do most of the voting and will convince most of the voters. It's the Boris factor.
Yeah, just looking around the rest of the country, Kate, are you expecting any big shocks anywhere tonight?
Well, if we look at London, we've got a couple of marginal seats. I've been doing a bit of work in Hampstead and Kilburn, and that was a three-way split in 2010 between the Lib Dems, Labour and the Conservatives. Lib Dems have fallen away. That's what's happened to the party in general, as you've seen by that exit poll, losing a substantial amount of seats, just leaving them with 10, as approximated in that exit poll. That's what's happened in Hampstead and Kilburn as well. And it's a straight race between Conservative Simon Marcus and also Tulip Sadiq, who is the Labour candidate. Labour very much doing a PR turn with Tulip Sadiq as well. They're giving her an awful lot of backing. Glenda Jackson stepping down as the current Labour MP for that area. Can Tulip Sadiq hang on to it? Well, Glenda Jackson only managed to hang on to it in 2010 by 42 votes. So it's going to be tight again. And as far as the rest of the country goes, we've seen a few results peel in. Nothing of great surprise from what I've seen so far yet, but of course I'll be keeping my focus on the London area.
Kate, I can't thank you enough. Extremely interesting thoughts there. I'll let you go and grab a coffee or whatnot. Try and stay awake all night, as I think we'll be doing the same.
Absolutely. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
That's it. We'll be back soon with more. Just keep in contact using the hashtag WEElectionLive2015.
You're listening to the General Election Results 2015 in conjunction with the Broadcast Journalism Training Council live on Smoke Radio.
You are listening to the General Election 2015 coverage here on Smoke Radio with myself, Jack Everett, Cassie Galpin, and we will now be joined by, he was on the phone earlier, man from Sunderland. He explained everything to us there. He's been looking at stats, polls, just about everything. If it's about the general election, he's been looking at it, and he's going to, you know, enlighten us with all this wonderful information. Just about now, it is Mr. Josh McKenna.
Good evening, Jack. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
What's the crack then, Jackie boy?
So the big talking point up to now, because we've only had three seats and it's relatively early, has been this exit poll that seems to have just blown all expectations of what we've been thinking for the last 2 months, at least, out of the water. Like, it was 33-33 Conservatives and Labour leading up to 9:59, and 10 o'clock we get hit by a sledgehammer. So if you could just explain to us a bit more what the exit poll is and how reliable this is.
Well, you talk about reliability there, Jack. In 2010, the previous general election, the exit poll was surprisingly accurate, but in the past we haven't always seen that. Certainly, you're quite right in saying that it was a shock. The Conservatives are supposed to be getting 316 seats, and that's only 10 short of a majority that they would need to govern. But what is interesting is if you look at other polls, the BBC exit poll is calculated by 22,000 voters who are asked after they've voted to fill in another form detailing how they've voted. So it's asking people who have voted. You know, it's guaranteed voters that they're surveying. But like I say, it's only 22,000, and that is a big number. You know, that is a big number, but nonetheless, not the whole country.
So as we said earlier as well, this has been called one of the most unpredictable elections in a long time. Could it then be that the exit poll is equally as unpredictable?
That's exactly right. You know, the exit poll is just a. It's just a prediction. It's just a poll. It's just a survey. This isn't people saying. I was sitting in the house before with a couple of my flatmates, and they said, "Crikey, I can't believe the Tories have won the election." You know, and I said, "No, that's not how it works." You know, this is just an early indication of what might happen or what is most likely to happen. If we look at other polls, for example, the final poll submitted by Lord Ashcroft has the Conservatives and Labour both polling at 33%, as expected. The YouGov poll that also has them both polling at 34%. So this exit poll is dramatically different to what we were expecting, certainly. But like I say, just a poll, just an indication. But what it does show is that the Tories have performed significantly better than their campaign would have suggested, perhaps.
Are we in for any more big shocks before the night is out?
Well, I think a couple of the seats that I've been, you know, looking out for, one of them is, I think it's North Warwick. That's a really contentious seat. And there's, of course, always Bradford, with where George Galloway is. We never know what's going to happen there. Labour could pick up a seat there, perhaps, if George Galloway doesn't retain his seat. There are a few other seats. You're looking at the UKIP seats, for example. Will they go back to the Tories? Mark Reckless, Douglas Carswell, both of their seats could go back to the Tories. So the Tories, they may end up with more, they may end up with less than 316. But whatever the situation, those key battleground seats, there's about 60 of them, that I've sort of looked at, and we'll come back to in the night when they're announced, I imagine. But they will be the key points to look at. You know, the ones that have been announced so far, the Sunderland seats, you know, my hometown, they're always going to be Labour. There's nothing shocking about three seats in Sunderland being declared as Labour. You know, that's been the way since the year dot, and I don't see that changing. What is interesting is that UKIP made big gains there, and if that in a part of the country where UKIP have never even stood before, that could spell positive messages for UKIP in the rest of the country where they have a stronger traditional following. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on, I think.
Yeah, and the other thing the exit poll has shown is it looks set to be a disastrous night for the Lib Dems. Does this kind of show that, by as far as the public are thinking, are they being blamed for most of everything that people didn't like out of the last government? And the other one is, will Nick Clegg hold onto his seat? I mean, it looks pretty like certain that he will. I think he had over 15,000 majority last time, so something unbelievably dramatic has to happen there. But if it does, we'll be the first to tell you. But it's completely unpredictable. It's so cliche to say, but it really is.
That's exactly right, Jack. I think, you know, the exit poll is suggesting 10 seats for the Lib Dems. However, if we look at other polls, I mean, Lord Ashcroft on... Paddy Ashdown on the BBC's coverage earlier on said that he would eat his hat if the Lib Dems got as few as 10 seats. He's looked at models that suggest more like 30 seats. And there's certain other polls, you know, like the YouGov poll would suggest that they will attain closer to 30 seats. So I don't think it will be as dramatic, perhaps, as few as 10 seats. But But yes, we just have to wait and see, I suppose. But it should be exciting.
All right, we will be with you every step of the way as soon as results start coming in. I believe we're expecting the next result relatively soon. I think there's one coming in at half past the hour, which it is now. But as soon as we get anything, we'll bring it straight to you here on this general election 2015 night. Please do tweet us in. I want all the funny stuff as well. I want the tweets about your dog at the polling station. I want tweets about Boris has just arrived. If there's any about Boris, anyone else, just tweet in using the hashtag WeLive2015. That is WeLive2015.
You're listening to the General Election Results 2015 in conjunction with the Broadcast Journalism Training Council live on Smoke Radio.
That's it. You're listening to Smoke Radio. This is the Westminster Election Live 2015 coverage. My name's Cassie Galpin and we've got Jack.
Yay.
And Josh in the studio. And we've got a very, very good interview coming up. One of our reporters down at Uxbridge.
Extremely exciting.
Yeah, extremely exciting. So we actually have the leader of the Eccentric Party. So leader of the Eccentric Party.
Got any stats, Josh?
I haven't, Jack, but he's the leader of the Eccentric Party. So it's bound to be an amusing anecdote.
He wears plenty of badges.
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 Lord Toby Jugg, excellent name, by the way, of the Eccentric Party of Great Britain.
The leader of the Eccentric Party of Great Britain.
So very, very privileged to be with you. Tell us why your party came about. Why did you set it up?
Well, I was in the Monster Ray Looney Party for 27 years, and I decided they wasn't loony enough for me. So I formed my own party, the Eccentric Party of Great Britain, in January of this year. And we're doing very well, getting a lot of support and voters around the country, and onwards and upwards.
How many candidates have you got standing in different...
We've got 10 general election candidates and 15 local election candidates, so I'm very pleased with that, considering, as I say, we've only formed in January of this year.
I notice you've got a badge, Vote Lord Such.
Yes.
Does that hark back from your Monster Raving Looney Party days?
I was big friends with Screaming Lord Such, and I played in his band for quite a number of years, and we was good friends, and I'm a protege of Lord Such, let's put it that way. He was my mentor. He taught me an hell of a lot.
What does he think about the new party that you've formed?
Who's that?
Screaming Lord Such.
He's dead, so unfortunately he can't really give his... He's our spiritual leader.
But he's not giving you a message from above.
No. I think tonight will be the thing. I went to the... He's buried in the constituency, Pinner, New Cemetery, and we went there today, and I think it's a good omen.
How have the people of Uxbridge received you?
Very well. As smart as was votes, we'd win every time. Our policies have gone down very well, and we've been having a lot of fun.
Give us two of your key policies.
Well, we're going to introduce super glue into lip balm to halt obesity. And we're going to introduce 10% off of phone bills for people who stutter. Drain all swimming pools once a week for non-swimmers. And we'll introduce fluorescent dog food so that when you're out at night, you can see the dirty messes glowing and don't step into them. These are all vote winners.
Very, very sensible indeed. I like them. Your chances?
I've got a bet with William Mills to poll no votes tonight. I've got 50 to 1 to poll. So I've been going around asking people to not vote for me. Because we don't need approval, real eccentric. So we dance to the beat of our own different drum. So I'm actually canvassing for no votes. So if anyone ruins it tonight, I'll be most upset. Damn unsporting.
Well, this is the first, isn't it, in election history. Lord Toby Jugg here of...
No, don't vote. Don't be a mug and
don't,
mug for me.
Don't vote for the eccentric
don't
party.
Vote for me. Don't want your votes, no. Don't need your approval. I don't like the other parties. We're actors and we didn't say anything just for your vote. We don't need that. We don't need approval. So there you go. Don't
Thank
be
you
a
very
mug
much.
And vote Jugg.
Don't be a mug and vote Jugg. There you go. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Best of luck.
That was the leader of the Eccentric Party, and that was incredibly enjoyable. I laughed a lot. I thought, no, actually, it was very, very serious. And what did you two make of it, Cassie?
I like the fact that he said don't vote for them.
That's very good, isn't it? He's got a bet on to get no votes.
Wow.
Fantastic. You might do that next year. Just run and then don't tell anyone I'm running.
You have to admire his pessimism. Like, that's some commitment to a cause that isn't his own.
What was the swimming pool policy?
I don't know, but there
was drain.
About...
It was drain all swimming pools once a week for non-swimmers.
My favourite was the, I think, a revolutionary approach to tackling the challenge of obesity. Super glue in lip balm. I think that was absolutely fantastic. You know, I'm right behind that. Well done, sir.
And the fluorescent dog poo. Yes. I can't tell you how many times I've trod in dog poo when I've been on a walk in the middle of the night.
But he is, of course, standing against Boris. In Uxbridge.
He's in with a shout, surely.
Should be, definitely. But of course, he's competing against Alan Hope, aka Howling Lord Hope of the Monster Ooh. Raving Loony Party, which he mentioned there in the
tough
piece.
Competition.
It is. It's a tough seat. No one knows which way it's going to go.
All right, we'll be back with more amazing radio like you've just listened to. That was spectacular. I think we've got a few more interesting interviews lined up. We've got people at Uxbridge who are giving us fantastic stuff like that. We'll have loads more. Please do get in contact. What did you make of Toby Jug? Give us a tweet. Hashtag WE Live 2015. That's We Live 2015. Hashtag it. Send it in. And of course, as always, pictures of dogs at polling stations.
You're listening to the General Election Results 2015 in conjunction with the Broadcast Journalism Training Council live on Smoke Radio. You're listening to the General Election Results 2015 in conjunction with the Broadcast Journalism Training Council live on Smoke Radio.
You are listening to the General Election 2015 on Smoke Radio live from the University of Westminster Harrow Campus with myself, Jack Everett.
Me, Cassie Galpin.
And myself, Josh McKenna.
Another result has just come flying in. Newcastle Central, Statman Josh.
Yes, it's been held by Labour again. Not another surprise, really. We expected them to hold Newcastle Central.
There we are. This election's been a bit well, all over the place, hasn't it?
Well, you know, a lot of the indicators before polling closed today at 10, it was showing off different things, and then the exit polls came in, and it just seems like we don't really quite know. Different things are saying different things, and how.
That's a very interesting point, Cassie. I'm glad you said that. Because if you're following the results as they come in and you're confused about all the numbers and what they mean, our reporter Natasha's got a countdown of all the important numbers you need to remember.
Okay then, Judy, start up both machines, please, if you would.
Over 32 million people in the UK play the National Lottery every week. But today, they're taking part in the lottery election.
By Gary Cook, who's from West Yule, Epsom Way.
So called by the Electoral Reform Society, because with the arrival of six-party politics, this is the closest general election for a generation.
The latest polls show no party opening up enough of a lead to rule alone. One gives Prime Minister David Cameron's Conservatives a 1 percentage point lead over the opposition Labour Party, with the Tories on 34%, while another poll says Labour has a 3-point lead over its Conservative rivals.
With so many contenders for seats, the winning party could actually secure an overall majority with a lower share of the vote than any single party government in history. But let's get specific. What are the winning numbers? 270. If the winning party gets 270 seats, they're going to find it tricky. Labour could become the ruling party, but only with SNP support, which Ed Miliband has firmly ruled out.
Let me be plain. We're not going to do a deal with the Scottish National Party. We're not going to have a coalition. We're not going to have a deal. And let me just say this to you, Simon. If it meant we weren't going to be in government, not doing a coalition, not having a deal, then so be it.
The Conservatives could get in by forming a coalition with the Lib Dems, but they might need the DUP and UKIP in the mix as well. 290. Now, if the Tories get 290 seats, they can be fairly confident of a coalition, presumably with the Liberal Democrats, but the Lib Dems do look like they're going to suffer a severe loss. And Labour could do a deal with Plaid Cymru and the Greens.
There's every chance that there could be a hung parliament in May and Plaid Cymru could hold the balance of power.
300. Though chances are slim, David Cameron or Ed Miliband could become Prime Minister if either of their parties received just 300 votes. and this is the number that many pundits think they would be very lucky to best. The Conservatives had 306 seats in the last Parliament, but most commentators predicted that they would lose seats. 323. This is the likely target for a majority, taking the smaller parties into account. And it's the target that the larger parties are realistically aiming for, given how close this election is going to be. And the Thunderball, 326.
If you're saying the job isn't finished, I absolutely agree. And that is why I'm so passionate about completing the job.
Well, let me tell you, right? Let me tell you. OK. Let me tell you. Hell yes, I'm tough enough.
This is the golden number. If a party wins 326, they've got a majority, clear and simple, as there are 650 seats in total in the House of Commons, and 326 is just over half. A government will be elected, and it will probably be David Cameron or Ed Miliband walking into number 10.
You're listening to Smoke Radio. Now, that was Natasha Caffrey's package on the lottery election, and it was really interesting. It was good.
I really enjoyed that, especially the Dale Winton was in there, Ed was in there giving him, hell yes, I'm tough enough.
I think it kind of brought together everything from the past couple of weeks, hasn't it? So we've just had some election results in, Josh.
Yes, a result from Battersea, and the Conservatives have held that seat. 26,730 votes. Labour in second with 18,792. That's a majority of nearly 8,000. And we'll get some more news on for you on that, given the swing and all those sorts of interesting stats as soon as I can get them. Very much breaking news, that one.
Yeah, the very interesting point will be when those marginals start coming in. Who's winning them early marginal battles? So we'll keep you involved with that. Just a word on Tinder. Just have a word to Dav. Jack did a sneeze, is getting a lot of interaction on Twitter. Thanks for that. I'll get one for you again at about 3 a.m. I can't do one earlier than that. You know, it's just the way it works. But yeah, do get involved on Twitter on that note. There you go. Good segue there. Hashtag WeLive2015. What's that, guys?
That's
WeLive2015.
Tweet us at smoke_radio with the hashtag WE2015 to get involved. In conjunction with the Broadcast Journalism Training Council, it's a general election results 2015 live on Smoke Radio. Tweet us at smoke_radio with the hashtag WE2015 to get involved. In conjunction with the Broadcast Journalism Training Council, it's a general election results 2015 live on Smoke Radio.
You are listening to the University of Westminster's coverage of the general election 2015, hosted by myself, Jack Everett, Cassie Galpin, and Josh McKenna.
That's right. And Josh, what have you heard so far on the election groove?
Well, we're reporting a Labour hold in Wrexham. Not a surprise. A working class area of Wales. Labour traditionally very strong there. But in Northern Ireland, we've had a few seats come in. The Ulster Unionist Party have picked up Antrim South from the DUP. That is reported as something of a surprise. I'm no expert, wouldn't be profess to be an expert on Northern Irish politics, but that is a surprise. The Ulster Unionists, who don't currently have a seat, mm-hmm. have picked up a seat from the DUP there. That's all we've got at the moment, I think.
Fantastic. So we've got an interview with actually a UKIP candidate from Hayden Harlington. That's Cliff Dixon. And he spoke to one of our reporters about UKIP in the area.
Cliff Dixon, UKIP candidate for Hayes and Harlington, the count for which is going on here at Brunel University, along with Uxbridge and South Ruislip. You've got obviously someone standing in Uxbridge as well. Tell us how you think the count's going for UKIP.
At the moment, it looks like we're fighting for a number of second places. I've been looking at our count. It's quite interesting, actually. There are some areas where, I mean, I'll be honest with you, Hayes and Harlington has always been a Labour stronghold. Apart from the SDP split in the 80s, it was always going to be a tough nut to crack. But some of the stuff that's coming out of the boxes, we're certainly giving the Tories a good run for their money.
How many Tory seats do you hope to take? I mean, if we talk about Uxbridge, of course, the main Tory seat here. Boris, you're up against a star turn, and we know that this has been a Conservative seat, what, for the last 13 elections or so. How many, what kind of percent of the vote are you hoping to nick?
Well, looking at Lord Ashcroft, had a look at it a little while ago. He had us on 20%. We've got a very capable candidate in Jack Duffin, who's the head of our youth wing, Young Independents. Again, it looks like we're neck and neck with the Tories. In fact, Ladbrokes have got us ahead of... Sorry, with Labour, rather. Ladbrokes have got us ahead of Labour. Jack's 20-1, and the Labour candidate's 50-1. You know, it could go either way. It could be a second, it could be a third. The interesting thing is going to be Boris's majority, because Sir John Randall was a very well-respected local MP. I know the guy. I liked him. He did a very, very good job for the constituency. It's going to be whether Boris can maintain that 12,000 majority or not. And what, from what I've seen on the street and talking to people, knocking on doors, talking to people tonight, it's, I don't know whether he can hold that kind of majority. Is he going to win? I'd be a fool to bet against him. But at the same time, if he comes in, say, 10,000 majority, 9,000 majority, when Sir John Randall had a 12,000 majority, that's not going to look good for Boris. And we all know why he's standing here. He wants a safe seat to make a challenge for the Tory leadership. And that won't do him any favours.
No, certainly. Sir John Randall, 25% was the margin towards the Tory vote in the last election. So I understand completely where you're coming from there. Sir John Randall, very respected, very well-liked, went about his business very, very astutely. Very nice chap indeed. Yeah. How's the constituency coping with the Boris factor? How do they like the PR and the hullabaloo surrounding the new Conservative candidate, hoping, of course, to be elected MP here tonight?
Well, it's funny. He seems to be quite Marmite. I mean, I've spoken to a number of former... long-term Conservatives who feel that Boris has been parachuted and inflicted onto them, and they're not happy about it. But then you've also got to look at it from the point of view that there are people out there who are stunned by kind of like the Boris factor, and it's like, oh, it's Boris, he's a good chap, and this, that, and the other. So, you know, with that kind of thing, he's going to be losing votes, I think, with people who are long-term Conservative voters, and he's going to be trying to wow people with his personality rather than his policies. Is he going to be a good MP for Uxbridge? I don't think he'll hold a candle to Sir John Randall, who was a local man who actually cared about the community. Boris hasn't got any roots here. He's more Uxbridge than Uxbridge.
Brilliant analogy. Thank you very much indeed. And some strong words against Boris. I did see you shake hands with a Tory adorned with a big blue rosette just a minute ago. So you are keeping your options open then?
No, I mean, the thing is, there's no point. It's politics. We can disagree with each other. Everybody's here with their own take on, they're here because they believe in what they're doing. I mean, we actually had quite a heated discussion over there, but it all ended up quite friendly. We agreed to disagree. He had some good points. I had some good points. No, I'm not keeping my options open at all. It's just a case of what's the point of falling out over stuff, you know. The Conservatives have taken Uxbridge and South Ruislip for granted. He was actually turning around and being a little bit disrespectful towards what he thinks UKIP are going to do tonight. As I pointed out to him, you know, it's they've got a lot more resources than us. They've got a lot more money than us. They've been established for 200 years. I mean, the analogy I used was Simon Cowell, which is Simon Cowell's very successful. He's got a lot of money. He's chucked it towards his acts to promote them. Are those acts any better than an independent who's come up from nowhere with no money? Probably not, but they've just got a slick PR machine. We've just got to basically work on building our base so that we've got the same kind of resources, and then we can take them on a level playing field. We've got the policies, we just need more boots on the ground and some more funders to believe in us and believe in Britain.
Cliff Ditson, thank you very much. Standing for UKIP in Hayes and Harlington. We're stood outside the camp for that constituency and, of course, Uxbridge and South Ruislip as well, outside Brunel University at the moment. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
That's right, you're listening to Smoke Radio for all the general election news. You can get in contact with us, hashtag WELive2015. Get in contact with us, hashtag WeLive2015.
Now, you cannot talk about politics or go anywhere at the moment. In the last 9 months, you can't anything political or to do with anything revolutionary. This man has been at the forefront. Russell Brand has been everywhere. He was the famous non-voter with Jeremy Paxman early doors. He subsequently changed his mind last week, a little bit after the registration period. So, strange timing, but yeah, he changed his mind there. And Dom Betts has been looking into this journey Russell Brand has been on, from being a lifelong non-voter, as I said, to now backing Ed Miliband.
Russell Brand, the man who is renowned for not voting ever in his life, seems to have taken a U-turn. To start, there is his interview with Mehdi Hassan of the Huffington Post, where he is explicit about his views on voting.
I ain't prepared to turn up and vote like an obedient little prisoner.
If there was a guy running for Prime Minister or for party leader,
yeah,
who didn't only know privilege, would you be willing to vote for him?
What's he going to do?
He's going to do some things that you want, but not everything.
F*** him.
But you can't...
Him, line him up.
So basically,
a year later, he was then a guest on Newsnight, where he spoke to Evan Davis.
That there might be an alternative to corporate hegemony. That there might be an alternative
to
our governments bending over for the benefit of big corporations.
I want to raise this.
That's what ordinary people care about, mate. Do you trust the American government? Do you trust the British government? I mean, I think I've been very clear that I have very little trust in this system.
You say in the book about the Swiss is voting the wrong way in a referendum. You say they've been manipulated.
I say that the media play a vital role in managing the outcome of referendums, as we saw in Scotland.
Given
Miliband
so much airtime to you,
I'm very glad.
We've rectified
a lot of
those.
What's the truth? True news. News you can trust.
This true news is broadcast on his YouTube channel, simply named Russell Brand. One video, he talks about voting and how we should vote.
Just because something's in a manifesto, it don't mean people are going to do it. The only way, really, to make politicians responsible is for us to have direct control over them, the kind of a dissolution of this centralised power. That's what I believe in. I don't believe in less democracy. I believe in more democracy. I don't believe in less voting. I believe in more voting.
Yet he's against voting a year or two previously, but he wants more voting and more democracy. So if you want more voting, you're going to have to vote yourself. Finally, he now backs Miliband and the Labour Party.
What I heard Ed Miliband say is if we speak, he will listen. So on that basis, I think we've got no choice but to take decisive action to end the danger of the Conservative Party. David Cameron might think I'm a joke, but I don't think there's anything funny about what the Conservative Party have been doing to this country, and we have to stop them. You've got to vote Labour. You've got to get the Conservative Party out of government in this country so that we can begin community-led activism, so that we can be heard continually.
Even though he did say in the Huffington Post interview that if he only partially agreed with a party, because I presume he doesn't agree with all of Miliband's policies, he would want zero business with them. And is forcing upon someone to vote for a specific party a real democracy? Is that really true news?
A dangerous tool that slices through propaganda like a...
Russell Brand there with the famous park life in the background. You're listening to the Westminster University general election 2015 live from Harrow campus at the University of Westminster, of course, with myself, Jack Everett, Cassie Galpin and Josh McKenna.
That's it. So the Russell Brand, I just find that podcast, that package was really good to just highlight everything, the massive U-turn that he's completely just double backed on himself and he's changed his mind about voting. Personally, I didn't really watch a whole lot of the Trues before the general election and decided to watch the whole one when he said that he decided to endorse the Labour Party. And I just find it interesting the way that he was completely so against it, but then it seems like he's just suddenly understood what democracy is and how it's meant to work.
Yeah, I mean, he had a chat with Ed Miliband, and I thought this would have got Ed Miliband a lot of support because he kind of went in there and I watched the interview and he kind of bullied him. I really think he did. Like, Russell was all ready just to attack him, and he kind of, you know...
But you do have to remember that Russell Brand, he does have however many million views. There we go. That's the other sneeze.
I wonder
if there's a trigger word or something that...
I said 3 o'clock. I couldn't hold it. I apologise.
So I wonder if... Because Russell Brand, he must speak to so many millions of people. I just wonder if those people he spoke to translated into votes somehow, somewhere. I don't know. I don't know where we would find out or how.
Well, I think he's such a divisive figure, isn't he? You know, you either he's a Marmite figure. You either love him or hate him. And I think the people that were following the truce, that were following his message not to vote, when he starts declaring his allegiance to Labour, but Jack, did you say that was after the?
Yeah. After the registration,
sort of message is that? You know, I think we have to have some level of balance. So I genuinely do think he's a very funny comedian, but the man is interfering in a world that frankly shouldn't be. It's a very mixed message to after the voter registration deadline to declare your allegiance to a party, having harped on about we must not vote, we must tear down the system, we must have a revolution. Childish stuff. You know, it's childish stuff, it's hypocritical. I think he's ruined his reputation, frankly.
You're listening to the General Election Results 2015 in conjunction with the Broadcast Journalism Training Council live on Smoke Radio.
That's right, you're listening to Smoke Radio, and news just in.
Major news. The first blood in Scotland has gone to the SNP. They have taken Kilmarnock and Loudoun. I believe that's how you pronounce it. 30,000 votes to Labour's 16,362, and there's been a 51% swing, we're hearing.
Huge swing.
Madness. Absolutely terrible news for Labour. Their Scottish seats are looking to be dissipating.
If that swing is anything to go by, it is going to be a bad night for Labour in Scotland and an immensely good night for the SNP.
And that's right. So we've got more news just coming in now on the Western Isles as well. We're waiting for that to come in. But we'll also be speaking with our reporter who's at Kilmarnock at the count there very, very shortly. But we can go to an interview that we've got with...
Yeah, so the man who has just won by an absolute mile... For the SNP in Kilmarnock.
30,000 on the dot.
Yeah, so Alan Brown with his 30,000 votes. Here's what he had to say a little while ago.
I'm still in Kilmarnock here at the Galleon Centre where the votes are still coming to be counted. And the surge for the SNP and Alan Brown in Kilmarnock doesn't look to be stopping. I'm actually joined by the man, Alan Brown, himself now. Alan, how's it going?
It looks good. I feel optimistic at the moment, quite confident that we should be able to win this seat.
It looks like not just this seat, but many other seats across Scotland.
That's the feedback we're getting. I'm not in touch with our constituency myself personally. We heard about the exit polls at the start of the night, which seemed unbelievable. Certainly in this local area in Ayrshire, I think we're doing really well overall.
Why are people switching to the SNP, particularly here, but perhaps across Scotland?
It looks like, I think for me, there's a couple of reasons. People seem disenchanted or disenfranchised with the Labour Party. I think the Labour Party's moved away from their original principles, and people have seen that over the years. And also importantly, they've seen that the SNP is the one party that they think will genuinely stand up to Scotland. We don't have to answer to a London headquarters, so therefore we take decisions based purely on the best interest of the people that stay in Scotland. I think that's reflected in the current trend at the moment.
When you threw your hat into the ring for this Kilmarnock and Loudoun seat, you must have known it would be quite a task, per se. Cathy Jemison's part of the Shadow Treasury team and has a 12,000 majority. It's been a Labour seat for over 90 years. Did you expect this, in all honesty?
In all honesty, no. Once you get in this, you get in it to win. I was hopeful of at least making it, at worst, a close-run fight. If I'm honest, the way the trends are at the moment, I didn't predict this would happen. So it's quite.
So you thought you were going to lose tonight?
I'm not saying I thought I was going to lose, but I could never predict any outcome. I always thought it would be too close to call at best. And overcoming a 12,000 majority is difficult.
But that seems to be what you've done. Alan Brown, thank you for joining me. And as I say, that's the second interview tonight. We've spoke to Willie Coffey, MSP, and now Alan Brown, who is the councillor, who looks set to take the seat away from Cathy Jemison and the Labour Party. It'll be the first time that there's been a non-Labour MP for Kilmarnock and Loudoun in over 90 years. More updates to follow throughout the night, but for now, back to the studio.
Yes, thank you very much for our reporter there in Kilmarnock, where Alan Brown stormed to victory.
Quite incredibly said there in his report, 90 years that it's been a Labour seat, and the first time in 90 years that that anyone else bar Labour is representing them. Incredible scenes. And we've got results flooding in. We've got another SNP, Jackie.
Couple of another SNP hold in the Western Isles. So nothing stolen there. They've held that. A big one. Lib Dems have got their first one on the board of the night. Lib Dems hold Ceredigion. Bit of a body blow there for Plaid Cymru.
Indeed, I think that was a key Plaid Cymru. Plaid Cymru seat that they were targeting, and the Lib Dems is it hold that, Jackie?
Yeah, they've held that. That's, and additionally, Labour have held. You ready for this?
I am.
Llanelli.
They've held Llanelli. Beautiful stuff.
George is shaking his head.
Oh dear. And there's another one coming in now. This is it's all flying in at this stage. Labour have held another seat there. Can we see what that is there? I can't quite see.
Labour have held Islington North.
Islington North, and I believe that was another target as well that they wanted to hold. So that's,
yep. Definitely.
Marvellous stuff for Labour.
Right. We will be with you all through the night. It's currently 2:18, and we're not even tired a little bit, because this is just fascinating stuff. We're still waiting to see, are their exit polls going to ring true? We will be with you, myself, Jack Everett, Cassie Galpin and Josh McDonough, until anything's decided. We're just going to stay here forever. You won't be able to get rid of us. You will not be able to get rid of us at all. Please keep tweeting in hashtag WeLive2015 now for a jingle and some music.
You're listening to the general election results 2015 in conjunction with the Broadcast Journalism Training Council live on Smoke Radio.
That's it, you're listening to Smoke Radio, and now we're joined on the phone with Kate. Hello.
Yes, we're at Camden at the Somerstown Sports Centre, and we're here for the count for Hampstead and Kilburn, and also the count for Holborn and St Pancras taking place here as well. It's very busy. One of the big talking points of this election is Hampstead and Kilburn, and the fact that it was a three-way split, Glenda Jackson winning by only 42 votes in the 2010 election. This time, well, it's a two-way split, but it's very 50-50. Beginning of the year, the pollsters, estimates so that the Conservatives were in front here. Around about now, Labour just edging the lead, according to some people estimating what's going on here in this constituency. But it's very, very close.
Okay, so also Natalie Bennett is standing for Holborn and St Pancras.
That's right.
How's that playing out? What's the feeling around that? The leader of the Green Party.
Yes, I'm stood here in this sort of general area for support of the parties, people working with the parties and in their setups. There's a lot of green t-shirts here, of course. This is a big talking point for Natalie Bennett, and one that she needs to try and make inroads in. I've caught up with quite a few of the Hampstead and Kilburn candidates so far. There's an interview on the way with Conservative candidate Simon Marcus. Another big story here is that the turnout is up, 67.5% turnout in Hampstead and Kilburn. That's up 1.2%.
Okay, do you think that's particularly, is there a particular reason for that that you could imagine?
Well, in 2010, Glenda Jackson won by just 42 votes. So I think that voters here have got to be thinking that their vote really does make a difference. When the person who wins the seat only wins by 42 votes, it makes you think that actually your vote could make a huge difference. So I think people are encouraged by that. Last time was a three-way split, support for the Lib Dems dwindled. That reflects what's happening nationally, of course, that BBC exit poll estimating that Lib Dems have got just 10 seats, which is huge fall in their numbers, and that's reflected here in this constituency as well. I think because it's such an even split, Conservatives and Labour, well, it's very, very close.
Thank you, Kate. We look forward to hearing your interview very soon, and have a good rest of the evening.
Thank you. It's incredibly busy here, so there'll be lots of talking points later, I'm sure.
Fantastic. Do remember, get in touch, hashtag WELive2015. Josh, how's it looking?
It is looking incredibly good for the SNP. They are already the big winners of the night. They've gained, the last time I checked, they'd gained 5 seats from Labour in Scotland. I don't know. Jack, do we have any updates on that? Have they gained any more seats? Do we have anything more?
No, that's spot on at the moment. They gained 5, but we've just, the board has gone blue, shall we say. Oh. We've just had 3 Conservative results fly in. Their holds, they're pretty, as you would have expected, and Labour, as we speak, have just held Islington South and Finsbury.
Okay, so do get in touch, hashtag WELive2015. We'll be speaking to Kyle, who's our reporter in Kilmarnock. So Carl, our reporter in Kilmarnock, and we'll be chatting to him later about everything that's going on in Scotland, I think.
Excellent stuff.
Everything.
Just a quick shout out to the Twitter. David Jones Morris has been on again. Regarding our chat about Russell Brand, he too thought that the Ed Miliband interview of Russell Brand would have helped Ed Miliband. And what we're seeing at the moment from early indications from the exit polls showing them that's probably not been the case.
Tweet us at @smoke_radio with the hashtag WE2015 to get involved. In conjunction with the Broadcast Journalism Training Council, it's a General Election Results 2015 live on Smoke Radio.
You are listening to the University of Westminster Smoke Radio coverage of the General Election 2015. We now are lucky to have on the line Kyle, who's in Kilmarnock. Kyle, how are you?
Hello, how are you? I'm fine.
Kyle, our screens here, everything here, Twitter, it's going crazy. SNP are charging.
Yes, in Kilmarnock was the first seat to be announced in Scotland. So I think it was an early indicator of how it's going to go, and the swing required to win was doubled by the SNP candidate. So absolute landslide. There's no other word to describe it than SNP landslide in Kilmarnock. And so far, what, 5 or 6 other results have all been big SNP wins as well. So
I mean, the swing has been incredible, and the swing in a lot of these early ones leads us to believe that they really are going to go along with what the exit polls are saying.
Yes, it does appear that way. With Douglas Alexander and Paisley losing his seat to 20-year-old Mary Black, I think it's great to see a young person in Westminster, such a young person, she is only 20, I think that's fantastic. But on the other hand, when Labour lose their chief election strategist, their shadow foreign secretary, to a 20-year-old girl who has not even finished her third year degree of politics, I think that gives you an idea of just how big the SNP surge is and how poorly Scottish Labour are suffering.
All right. I can't imagine what the atmosphere must be like up there, Kyle. Thank you very much for chatting with us. I'm sure we'll probably hear from you later after SNP stormed to an unbelievably big victory. Thank you very much.
Okay. I'm just heading round to meet with the SNP. They've booked out a pub till 4 in the morning, so I'll probably get round and hear from them there.
All right. Have a good night, Kyle. Thank you very much.
Okay, you too.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Well, hearing from Kyle there, guys.
Wow. I had no idea about Mary Black being this 20-year-old.
20 years old.
Who's taken out Douglas Alexander. That's an incredible thing.
That is really amazing. But I think it also goes to show, in this election, how much, I suppose, students and young people, especially in our university, we had the Millie fandom with Abby. She was only 17, and yet still so engaged. She couldn't even vote, yet she was that engaged. So I think that's really, really telling about this election.
Well, it makes me feel like I've kind of, what have I done with myself? I'm older than that, and I'm not an MP.
It's incredible, isn't it? It's absolutely incredible that young people have taken, politicians for so long have ignored young people. They've said, you know, almost that our opinions are irrelevant. And that was proven by the hike up in university fees by the last administration. And now we've got people like this SNP MP coming through, Mary Black, and showing that young people really do have a voice.
And I think this is really important as well to note that she is a woman, and having a young woman in Parliament is so important. I mean, I've done a lot of work about that over the past sort of year or so, trying to get more young women and girls involved in politics. And I think this is such a positive step, no matter what party, such a positive step for politics in the UK.
This is the general election 2015 live on Smoke Radio here at the University of Westminster. I'm now joined on the phone by a fellow journalism student at Westminster, Keziah. Keziah, how are you?
I'm so tired right now. I don't know how I'm still awake.
So, Keziah, you are in Enfield North, Enfield Southgate and Edmonton, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
What's the feeling down there? We've got Enfield North is kind of a... There's a few marginals there, like Tory-Labour splits. What's the feeling? We'll start with Enfield North. What's happening there?
Yeah, that's the one which people are expecting maybe a little bit of drama or something. It's been announced that Enfield Southgate and Edmonton are both being checked on. I think all accounts have been done for that.
So they're doing a recount?
Not at the moment.
No, okay.
They're definitely done. They were just being checked over. That was about an hour ago, and about 5 minutes ago, they said that Enfield North is going to be checked as well.
Okay.
That one took a little bit longer, so.
So very close ones, and what's the feeling down there? Have you been speaking to some Labour Conservatives? What's the feeling? I mean, the exit polls show a very good night for the Conservatives, a very bad night for Labour. What's the feeling down there between the Labour and Conservative candidates?
Yeah, that tends to be the general feeling down here as well. At the start of the night, people were kind of positive, like the Labour people, but now slowly their hopes seem to be fading a little bit.
And obviously they've got that big yellow cloud over them up in Scotland. Is that getting a lot of talk down there, the people talking about the SNP surge?
Yeah, quite a lot. We're all watching on the TVs, checking in what's going on. So I think people are quite surprised by how well they're doing.
All right, because I'm going to ask you quick fire final. What do you think's going to happen, Enfield North? Where's it going?
I don't know.
Is it that close?
It could be.
Wow.
I mean, in 2010, I think there was 1,000 votes in between.
All right.
I think it's probably going to be Conservative, but who knows?
Well, we'll wait and see. Keziah, I hope you can stay awake for the rest of the night. Go and get a coffee or something, or maybe something stronger. And thanks for talking to us. Take care and good night.
Well, Jackie, crikey, who knows what's going to go down at Enfield?
No one knows.
What we do know, we've got some reports coming in. Labour, a great victory for them. You know, goodness knows what people must be thinking. I'm saying 1 minute Labour are gaining, 1 minute Labour are losing. They've gained again. They're back in the money. You know, if it was a horse, they've jumped over a fence. They've made it over the fence. But the jockey's about to fall off. That's all. That's how I would analogise it. But they've gained Ealing Central from the Conservatives. Another key seat that they've held, Lee, which is Andy Burnham's seat, a prominent front bench MP. So good signs for Labour there. But again, like I say, the SNP, they've come back. They've come back. They're riding that horse. They're catching up with Labour. They're like, they're the second favourites. You know, they're the second favourites. They're the outsiders. They're running down the outside of the track. And the SNP have gained Renfrewshire North from Labour. They now have 18 seats. They've gained 13 from Labour and one from the Lib Dems. It's madness, Jackie. I'm having palpitations.
It's interesting here because it'll come to a point in the night where the SNP can't go any further. And then we'll see what happens. It'll kind of, because they can only get to 60 or 59, like unbelievable. So if they get there like really rapidly, then we'll have less to concentrate. But the SNP is just the story of this election so far.
They are the real winners. They are genuinely so far the real winners. We've seen UKIP gain a lot of seats, a lot of votes, but not necessarily transferred that into seats. What we've seen with the SNP is they are gaining a lot of votes and they're transferring that into seats. I mean, 18 seats that they've got declared so far, with many more to come. We've only seen, I think, what is it, something like 70 seats declared so far out of 650. It's a long night ahead.
That's it. So remember, get in touch, hashtag WELive2015. Me, Cassie Galpin, Jack Everett and Josh McKenna bringing you all the latest on the general election 2015.
You're listening to the General Election Results 2015 in conjunction with the Broadcast Journalism Training Council live on Smoke Radio.
We've got some news in, some not surprising news, but some positive news for Labour on a night where they've not failed, but they've certainly had a rough time of it. They've held Great Grimsby. Now, this was a key seat for UKIP. It was one of their targets. And that's, you know, it's poor news for UKIP. They didn't even come second there. They came third with 8,000 votes. The Conservatives polled around 12, and Labour were way ahead, and they've held that seat. They've also held Bishop Auckland, Sedgefield, Cardiff South and Penarth, but have lost out to the SNP in Glasgow North East.
Yeah, especially with the Grimsby thing there. Bit of a sidetrack, but I remember watching one of the Channel 4 programmes back in the day, and it was set in Grimsby, and you see a lot of UKIP voters coming from the places with old industry that's now gone. Like Grimsby had a big fishing industry that left, and left people highly disillusioned.
Well, this is a very good point, Jackie. Traditionally, people in those industrial areas, those formerly heavily industrial areas, have always voted for Labour. But I think that the feeling that we're getting tonight with these enormous UKIP numbers coming up, this is a clear sign that it's a bit of a protest vote, I think, going for UKIP rather than Labour. And that's very interesting news. Also, Ed Davey, prominent frontbench MP for the Lib Dem party, has lost his seat, and that's a big loss for the Lib Dems. They're having a terrible night of it, Jack.
All right, we told you we would have news from Brent Central. Steve is back with us. Steve,
hello.
Well, how about that then? Reaction? Labour hold? No, Labour gain from Lib Dems.
Yes. This is a Labour gain for Dawn Butler from the Liberal Democrats in Brent Central. It's by a significant amount. And basically, in front of a large assembled audience, she made a number of comments. She thanked her supporters, and she referred to, obviously, her own family, as well as supporters within the trade union movement in Brent. She said that, "I hope you can put Ed into number 10.
Wow.
So she said, "I hope you can put Ed into number 10. She also said, what else have we got? That this wasn't her win. It was the win for the people in Brent. And said that... She actually asked the crowd assembled who will save the NHS, and her supporters very loudly responded that it would be Labour that will save the NHS.
Stephen, it's Josh McKenna here. We've seen another Lib Dem loss here in Brent Central, and we've seen that up and down the country, from all the way from up in Scotland, all the way down the country now to London. What do you make of the picture for the Lib Dems, and what's the feeling there with them?
I've spoken to a number of Lib Dems here, including Lauren Keith, who is the prospective MP here. And at a very early stage, she said that they were feeling miserable and that this was not a good day for them. She blamed a lot of the problems with the situation in Brent Central. That's to say that she started campaigning very late in the day. It was actually only 2 months to go before the election. And she said that they weren't able to kind of bed in their campaign at all. It's fair to say, I think, that the Lib Dems in Brent Central have had, you know, a terrible time of it, really, with one of their candidates actually resigning due to an expenses scandal. And, you know, it's been very bad. But there's an awful lot, I think it's fair to say, of gloomy Lib Dem faces.
Yeah, absolutely.
In Brent Civic Centre at the moment.
Steve, where... Go on, Josh.
So I was just going to say, Steve, have we heard anything from Brent North yet?
No, we haven't, no. And I'm just going to... I can find out about that, actually, because My colleague is in there at the moment, actually.
Wonderful stuff. Well, keep us in touch on that, Stephen. We'll eagerly anticipate the results from Brent North, which I believe is a safe seat, but always worth coming back to you on the situation in Brent. But thank you very much for now, Stephen.
Okay, cheers.
Superb, thank you.
Bye-bye. There we are, Josh.
Yes, interesting one there. A very interesting one. Another Leb Dem loss. They're hemorrhaging, Jack. But meanwhile, while we're on the phone there, the SNP have gained two more seats, Coatbridge, Cryston and Bellshill, as well as Livingston. And Labour have held on to Barnsley Central and Delin. And the Conservatives have held Bexley Heath and Crayford. Well, we have got some more news in. Hayes and Harlington, we mentioned them earlier. We had Mr. Cliff Dixon.
We did indeed, and he was from UKIP.
He was, and they've come third. They've come third in Hayes and Harlington. Cliff will be disappointed, I have no doubt.
Was that a strong target for UKIP then?
It was probably one of their less favoured targets, but if they'd been having a particularly good night, this was one of the ones they would have gone for. But he's come third with 5,388 votes. Pearl Lewis of the Conservatives, second with 11,000. John McDonald, Labour, 26,843 votes. So a huge victory for Labour there. Another London seat, Ilford North. Now, this is a Labour gain from the Conservatives. And it is the incredibly marginal seat there. Labour have held a majority here of 389. Wes Streeting came out with 21,263 votes. Lee Scott of the Conservatives, 20,874 votes. UKIP came third there as well. And whilst we've been on air, the Conservatives have held Derbyshire South. The SNP have gained in East Lothian, as well as Fife North East. And good news for the Liberal Democrats at last. They have held on to Orkney and Shetland. Alistair Carmichael is the man there who's held on in Orkney and Shetland for the Lib Dems. So they've now got three whole seats.
Thanks for that, Josh. We are now joined by Matt, who's in Islington. How are you, Matt?
I'm very good. How are you?
Most well, thank you. Tad tired, as you can imagine. I'm sure you feel the same. But what's going on in Islington? What's the feeling down there?
It's good if you're a Labour supporter. A complete landslide for them. I think it was something like 20,000, more than 20,000 votes separating Labour and Conservative, who came second in Islington North. And it's pretty much the same for Islington South and Finsbury.
All right, Matt. What's the feeling like? That's a majority Labour seat, we're thinking. But what's the feeling like down there amongst Labour supporters and the candidates as they see the results from the nation?
The Labour supporters who were there were obviously ecstatic with the result. You could feel it in the room, really. It was electric. But in terms of the other, taking out the way the Conservatives, probably the other candidates, in their speeches anyway, they sort of all talked about the national result, with the Conservatives obviously looking to get another... I didn't like to get into power. They all seemed to be quite disheartened by it, especially sort of the like Lib Dems and
what was their feeling regarding Ed? We've seen quotes saying he won't last until lunchtime. Was there any support for Ed down there?
There wasn't any support, but then there wasn't any real like harsh words about him. It was the still from the Labour party candidates. Even they just were so ecstatic, because obviously that's a landslide victory for both of them.
All right, Matt, thank you very much for coming
on. No problem.
I guess you're done now. You can go and sleep, can you? Or are you staying up for the rest?
Yes, I can.
Matt, Josh McKenna here, just a very quick word. The Greens managed to pull in third. Was that an expected result?
I think if you'd have asked this question like 5 years ago at the last election, if it was expected, then completely this is amazing, an amazing result for them. Was it expected tonight? I'm not sure.
Well, thank you very much, Matt. Thank you very much for your time, and get yourself up and have a good sleep, mate.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Great, fantastic. So don't forget, tweet us, hashtag WELive2015. We love to hear what you're saying, your predictions for what tomorrow afternoon's going to be like. weather predictions as well, I think we're taking.
Yeah, do them.
Yep. What's the weather like?
We've got to leave the studio at some point.
Tell us when it's starting to get light again. We'd quite appreciate that.
Don't forget, any pictures of dogs.
Dogs.
We're keen on dogs.
We've been slacking on that recently.
We have.
Yeah, I did see one, actually, on Facebook. It was from earlier this morning. Let me see. I might be able to nick it and put it up on
Jack
Twitter.
Russell, perhaps?
Find that. While you do that, I dedicated a song to the Lib Dems. I'm now going to dedicate a song to Ed Miliband and the Labour Party.
You're listening to the General Election Results 2015 in conjunction with the Broadcast Journalism Training Council live on Smoke Radio.
Well, we have had some more results, some more positive results for Labour while we've been off air there. They've held Ilford South and Eltham, as well as Erith and Thamesmead. But the big news for Labour, they've gained in Hornsey and Wood Green, which was previously a Lib Dem, what we imagine to be a Lib Dem safe seat. I'm joined by Geoffrey Davies of the University of Westminster. Geoffrey, what do you make
of
that?
Well, I'm a bit surprised. I think that I'm a bit surprised, but I think it's not totally unsurprising. Does that make sense?
It certainly does.
4:10 in the morning makes quite a lot of sense. No, I mean, I think it's an interesting one. I mean, she's been quite a popular, I'm sure she's a good local MP, but I mean, certainly the Labour the Labour Party literature in the area was very much that she had voted very much on the party line with the Lib Dems in favour of university fees and so on. And I think that was, and the privatisation of the health service. So I think it's not a surprise in that sense, but I do think the size of the majority, I mean, she had a significant majority before, 5,000, 6,000?
Indeed, yes. The majority is now an 11,000 majority for Labour, which is quite unprecedented.
Massive swing. I mean, as you've been saying, I mean, we've seen Lib Dems lose their seats in London and elsewhere, and quite notable ones. But I mean, I think the swing in that case, and I can't do the sums, but significant. And I think that for Labour to regain that is really quite a feather in their cap.
It is indeed. I think, would you agree with the testament that Lynn Featherston has perhaps paid the price for the larger picture of the party rather than her own local issues?
I think so. And I think, without giving too much away, I think a lot of, certainly people I know felt that by voting Labour they were giving Ed Miliband a chance of defeating the Tories, and that they moved their votes away from the Liberal Democrats, which would have been a good thing to do last time, into floating across to Labour this time. I mean, historically it's been a floating seat over the last, certainly 20, 30 years. I think it's moved a number of ways. So, I mean, it's not surprising. But, I mean, as an area, it's quite a mixed area. It's both families and sort of young people in flats and so on. I think it's quite a result that Labour must be very pleased with, and I'm sure they only wish there were more like that.
So bearing in mind everything that we've learned so far tonight, I mean, it is only, it is only 4:10, but in the grand scheme of things, where there's a long way to go, where do you see Labour? You know, this is a big victory for them, but where do you see them in the grand scheme of the things, in the grand scheme of the country?
Well,
the nationwide,
I think
results?
It's not. I mean, I think, you know, the exit poll looks as though whatever Labour politicians may have been saying for the last 4 or 5 hours, I think the exit poll is pretty much about right. And I think, you know, we're going to see no change at number 10. It's only a matter of whether he's got quite enough votes to get through. I mean, if you take away Sinn Féin and you add back in the DUP, I think, you know, it's certainly not a slam dunk, but it's certainly, you know, he's not going to have a problem.
So you envisage then very much the case of David Cameron as the Prime Minister tomorrow afternoon?
Yeah, he may still need the Liberal Democrats just to push him over the edge, but he's not going to be calling the removal van in.
Well, thank you very much, Geoffrey. Thank you very much for your time. We also have more Labour news. They've held on to West Bromwich East and they've gained Bermondsey and Old Southwark. Meanwhile, the Lib Dems have held on to Carshalton and Wallington. And the SNP continue to gain. They've gained Gordon and Glasgow Central. Gordon, of course, I believe I'm right in saying that is that Alex Salmond? That is Alex Salmond. So Alex Salmond has won his seat in Gordon.
And we
tweet
just
us
have
at Smoke underscore radio
from,
with the hashtag WE2015 to get involved. In conjunction with the Broadcast Journalism Training Council, is the General Election Results 2015 live on Smoke Radio.
And we've got news in. We've just heard that the final adjudication for the Harrow West count is now taking place. So that's quite an important vote for our local area.
My seat.
Yep, fantastic. So hopefully we'll hear about that fairly soon.
Yeah, as soon as we get any news about that, we will tell you.
One more little issue that's just cropped up in the last 2 minutes there. Simon Hughes, very prominent Lib Dem MP, has lost his seat. I can't quite believe that we're seeing some really prominent Lib Dems. These are frontbench MPs that have served in the current government. It's very much a case of Michael Portillo losing his seat back in, I believe it was 1997, or perhaps an election after that. But it's very much a case of these are some big targets that the Lib Dems are losing. Their presumed safe seats are leaking, you know? They're hemorrhaging, Jack.
I think it shows that there's a big change in British politics, and the electorate is showing no respect for big names. I don't care who you are. If they don't like what you've done, you're getting turfed out.
This is quite right, Jack. That's a very, very accurate statement.
That's it. So tweet us using the hashtag WELive2015. That's right, you're listening to Smoke Radio, and UKIP have just declared their first seat, Douglas Carswell in Clacton. It was quite a big gain for them to have that one, and that, yeah, so 19,642 votes. Coming in second was the Conservative Party with 16,205, then Labour, then Greens, then the Lib Dems at the bottom with 812.
I tell you what, that doesn't bode well for UKIP. I think his margin was a lot bigger at the by-election.
I think though there's something of a propaganda coup here, in the sense that UKIP have actually won a seat in a general election. That's an enormous publicity coup for them, I think. And I think what we're seeing here is UKIP emerging as a genuine alternative, as a genuine third party. So yeah, Douglas Carswell.
We've got big news from one of our local places, Brent North, and Steve is on the line. He is at Brent North. Steve, what can you tell us? Steve, are you there? Steve doesn't want to talk to me. Come on, Steve. Like, I thought we were friends. You know, we got on well earlier. We had the pizza and it was really nice. No, bye, Steve.
Okay, so we'll be expecting that soon from Brent North. But we're just keeping on top of our results as they come in. So just to confirm, UKIP having their first seat. Labour hold Brent North, and we're getting in the breakdown for that right now. So we're going to go back over to Steve at Brent North. Hello, Steve.
Hiya.
Would you just be able to summarise with the candidate about the candidates and just how each candidate sort of got on?
Yes. Barry Garner has just been speaking actually, and I guess to say in quite a somber atmosphere compared to the victory of Dawn Butler, new Labour MP for Green Central. It was a very sombre atmosphere where Barry Gardner thanked his supporters and went on to describe some of the cuts that had taken place in his constituency in Brent North. And in what was quite a short speech and sombre speech, he just really kind of a very kind of low turn.
So did he still seem sort of happy to get the seat?
Yes, definitely. But Barry Gardner, having spoken to him just earlier today, he's quite a kind of, he comes over quite a modest man, actually, not someone that gets particularly excitable about things. So I think maybe this could be the best it gets. But you know, Brent North is a very safe, or a very safe Labour seat, and you know, I think in his eyes it's probably just mission accomplished, really. But you know, overall, with what we're knowing about Labour's national fortunes, you know, maybe he should have been a bit more jubilant about this, because you know, obviously Labour having a tough time nationally.
Stephen, we've also seen here very much a mirror of the picture across the UK in terms of the Lib Dem vote as well. They've lost 12% of their share in Brent North. Paul Lauber, the candidate there, has only taken 2,607 votes. What's the atmosphere around the Lib Dem camp there?
It's pretty miserable, it's got to be said. Actually, Paul Lauber did an interview with us at Westminster Election Live, and he didn't really have a lot to say, actually. He was looking pretty down, and a large number of the Lib Dems have actually left the Brent Civic Centre before this announcement has been made. We understand it is kind of getting on to 4:30 in the morning, but when you know, supporters, you know, Liberal Democrat supporters are already leaving the venue, it's not a good sign.
Okay, thanks a lot, Steve. And we'll make sure people can stay up to date with the latest on Smoke Radio here for Westminster Election Live. And don't forget to tweet us using the hashtag #WeLive2015.
Okay, we have Natasha on the phone from Camden, and she's going to speak to us.
From Camden, from Watford.
Well, that's what I said, you know, Watford, Camden, sounds similar. We've got Natasha on the phone from Watford. We'll see what's going on there. Natasha, how's it going in Watford?
It's going good. The Conservatives are going crazy because Harrington is the MP for Watford. It was a landslide victory for Conservatives.
Wow. We weren't expecting you till 6 a.m. They were quick on the counting.
Yeah, no, we weren't expecting to be out here by till at least 8, so this is really good.
What's the atmosphere down there? Did you manage to bump into any Lib Dem candidates? They must have been pretty dejected.
They all are pretty dejected. All the Conservative supporters are crying. It's pretty emotional.
And what's the sense in Labour? Do they still think they can turn this around, or?
We're about to do an interview with a Labour candidate in about 10 minutes.
All right.
So I don't really have anything to say at that point.
Okay, cool. We look forward to hearing that as and when you get it in. I'm sure you'll send it over to us.
Yeah. I can try to do that.
All right. Thank you very much.
No worries.
All right. Bye bye.
So we have now. Can we go live to Camden now?
We can. Jack? We're live in Camden now with Kate. What's going on, Kate? Nothing.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, hi. So we're live at the Hampton and Kilburn and Holborn and St Pancras town. Already Hampton and Kilburn Green candidate Rebecca Johnson polls 2,387. And Conservative candidate for Hampton and Kilburn has polled 20,839. Lib Dem 3,039. That's the most that there was. And Hampton and Kilburn, it's a straight split between Conservative and Labour, just waiting for the Conservatives. That's Tulip Sadiq. That's coming in now. 23,900 odd votes. It is a victory for Labour here in Hampstead and Kilburn. It was close all the way, but it looks like the PR turn of Tulip Sadiq has worked wonders as she is elected MP of Hampstead and Kilburn.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. Great reactions there.
We could hear the crowds in there.
Some wonderful reactions there for the Labour victory. Let's cut back to Kate again there for the results.
Okay, we are at the Holborn and St Pancras camp now, and it's 7,013. Conservative 12,014. Liberal Democrat 3,555.
Ben Hudson. I'm a Welfare Party. 173.
One of the outside parties there calling 173. Natalie Bennett looking very pleased. Just over 7,000 for her. The party here. Cannabis is safer than alcohol. The cannabis is safer than alcohol party. 252. More of the smaller results coming in here. In total, 8 candidates on the stage. Maxine Spencer for UKIP. 2,740. Keir Starmer, Labour. 29,000. And 62 votes, resounding victory for Keir Starmer here and Labour. So there we go, in the borough of Camden, both Hampstead and Kilburn and Holborn and St Pancras, sewn up by Labour. And all the results in here at the count. The count was meant to happen at 3:30. It's now 5 o'clock, hour and a half late. We know, of course, we've seen increased attendance at the polling. And a few smaller parties coming in now. So, yeah, Labour victory here
in
Holborn and St Pancras.
We heard there, Kate, we heard some jubilation from the Labour supporters.
Yeah.
It seemed as though there was a fantastic atmosphere down there. Keir Starmer, the victor in this seat. What is the overall mood down there at Holborn and St Pancras?
Very positive mood. I have to say that the crowds have thinned out now. The big marginals that have been thrown up by Tulip Sadiq by around 1,000 votes, really, her majority. So the crowds have thinned out, but it's been a great night here for Labour. Not that the Conservatives haven't made a dent, of course. It's close in Hampstead and Kilburn. The Green Party, Natalie Bennett, polling just over 7,000 votes. She admitted right at the beginning of her campaign when she decided to take on going for this constituency that it was going to be an uphill struggle, but she wanted to tackle it. She wanted to fight it. She wanted to show that she wasn't afraid to fight the tough constituencies. And I think she's done that as well. She spoke very eloquently to us at Westminster Live this evening. I know there's some video and audio floating around that you'll be able to have a little listen to. But Keir Starmer, the most victorious in terms of his majority this evening. And for Hampstead and Kilburn, well, they'll be mighty relieved. Glenda Jackson in 2010 winning by only 42 votes. This time, over 1,000 votes in the favour of Tulip Sadiq and Labour. And I think Tulip's going to be a bit of a Labour poster girl. There's a lot of work that's gone into promoting her. Looks great. She sounds great.
Kate, what's the feeling you're getting from Labour at the moment? Is the gloom lifting slightly? Do they think they're back in with a chance, or not really?
Look, it's really hard to base it on this constituency, but one of these seats was marginal and it's gone to Labour. So Labour have got to be optimistic about that. This is one of their close seats, safely remains in their hands. They've got to be relieved about that, and certainly the cheers for when Tulip was announced as the new MP in that constituency were loud and they were resounding. So Labour can feel very, very pleased with themselves.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot, Kate, and thanks for covering both of those constituencies down there. So please do get in contact with us. You can use the hashtag WeLive2015. We'll go to a song, so do get in contact with us at smoke_radio.
You're listening to the General Election Results 2015 in conjunction with the Broadcast Journalism Training Council live on Smoke Radio.
Now, to join us to do discuss the morning papers is Dom there. So, Dom, how are you, old boy?
I'm fine. That's it. Starting off. That's pretty much it. No, to start off with the papers, the first one, obviously, is the Daily Mail. The massive headline is Cameron is heading back to number 10. And worst Labour result for 30 years. Moving next on, we have the Independent. There is shock exit poll points to Conservative victory. Next, we got the Times. Tories out in front. Labour slump predicted after the wipeout in Scotland. Next, we have the Daily Telegraph. Cameron, hold on. And SNP 58 seats predicted. Independent short exit polls hand Cameron big lead. And obviously another Scottish National Party wipeout sort of headline there. The Sun, swinging the blues. Labour crumble. Daily Express, now give us the EU votes. That's what they want. From the Daily Express. Next is the Daily Mirror, who just started with a black background. Five more damned years. And in the top right, general election 2015, condemned again. Metro Day, millions voted with their tweets because you had the hashtag I voted. And also it on Facebook, where millions of people have been telling everyone they've been voting. And it's been the most talked about event on Twitter ever. And then finishing, we have the Daily Star. Bullied at the ballot box. Some people have apparently been intimidated by political thugs. That's all the papers.
Thank you. Thank you, Dom. That was excellent. We now have an additional weather forecast from Josh McKenna. He was looking out the window.
It's yep. There's some clouds. Not a day for golf, Jack. Not a day for golf.
No, we'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll do that tomorrow.
No, we won't.
No, we won't. But yes, bullied at the ballot box there. The Daily Star, Britain's premier paper. What else do we have to say on that?
Well, I just wanted to raise like your point about the internet. It's been the most sort of social media led election. Is that something that's kind of come across in a lot of the papers, do you think, so far? From the sort of pages that you've seen?
They're mainly focusing on David Cameron and the Tories absolutely storming into the lead, or supposedly storming into the lead over Labour, yeah. How bad they've done. They're really, the Metro is really the only one on the front page who's really focused on the social media aspects, which I found quite surprising.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously you've got, as you know, certain papers side with certain sides, and they might be trying to emphasise on that point.
And what did you think about the Mirror's front page? So it's just the
five more damned years.
Yeah, the black background, the exit polls at the bottom, the masthead, and general election 2015 condemned again, five more damned years.
I think this is
what are they trying to say?
I think this is probably the most effective front page out of all the papers, really, because the other one have got loads of text everywhere, so you're gonna have to read the small text. Where I think the Daily Mirror are just trying to get their point across about it being condemned again in the general election 2015, and obviously, as they say, another damned years for the next five.
Dom, you've been watching Twitter all last night, all this morning. What's been the reoccurring sort of theme on Twitter? Well, is there any like standout tweets for you?
Well, we've had loads of interaction on the Smoke account, because I've been trying to get every single seat as quick as I can. But then I keep rushing to get the coffee and miss about five. But no, Sky messed up with Newark. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't.
Yeah, Sky messed up with Newark. It's actually just Conservative hold.
Oh.
But okay. Oh, great. So Conservative hold for Newark.
Yeah. And then, but as you got through the night,
what happened? Did they just sort of announce it?
They announced it, and then they about 5 seconds later, they just did Newark Conservative hold. They haven't said, "Oh, sorry." When I looked at it last, they just posted the full election result as a picture, and then it was kind of obvious.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Dom, and for all your efforts through the night. Anyone who's been on Twitter, you owe your lives to Dom, or at least a beer. He likes that. Go and see him in the pub. Give him a beer.
You're listening to the General Election Results 2015 in conjunction with the Broadcast Journalism Training Council live on Smoke Radio.
Mr. Jeffrey Davies
back in. Jeffrey, how are you? You're still awake as well.
Yeah, I'm very much awake. I think it's been very interesting. I think perhaps what's most interesting is exactly nobody predicted this. I mean, we'd seen the polls consistently flatlining for the last 2 or 3 months. The expectation was, I mean, I think I told you, the BBC had told their main director in the programme to be available for 3 weeks afterwards. I think there was a sort of, you know, if it took 5 days to get a government last time, it was going to take 50 days to get a government this time. And what's happened, you know, we've seen David Cameron just, you know, go back through the door number 10 as though not much has happened. Has a lot happened? I think it has, actually. I think what's interesting is the point that was made by David Hennessy, that the actual number, or Peter Kellner rather, the number of votes that the SNP have to get 50 plus seats is infinitely smaller than the total number of votes that UKIP have. And I think, you know, if ever there was an argument for STV or better representation of some sort, this has probably made it. I mean, I don't think you want to get into quite the situation that you see some countries getting into, but I think it's inevitable that we're going to have to reconsider this now.
Can you see a big backlash from especially like UKIP supporters? Do you see like?
Well, I think so. I mean, of course they'll have. Of course, the irony is they'll have little or no representation in Parliament. But I mean, I think that, you know, the argument for a change in the system, which of course would not the Tories wouldn't want. I mean, I'm not sure. Have we seen any figures on actually how many Labour votes there are compared to the number of seats?
We haven't got the final stats yet. But I was just going to ask you, Geoffrey. In terms of a change or a reform to the voting system, do you think a single transferable vote system or a proportional representation system would be something that could be in place by the next election? I mean, if the Tories, like you say, if they do gain this majority, or if they go into some sort of coalition, perhaps with the DUP, would they be interested in changing the system?
I don't think they would. No, I don't think politicians, certainly politicians. I think it's a bit like rating. No, you know, it's not in anybody's interest. And I think that, you know, an alliance between the Conservatives and the DUP is pretty natural. I mean, it used to be, the Conservative and Unionist Party. It would be quite acceptable.
Just a point I'll bring up, I've just spotted something. We were previously told that Lib Dems had kept Bristol West. That appears to not be the case, and Labour have gained it. So Lib Dems are back down to six. I mean, Geoffrey, a disastrous night for the Lib Dems.
Well, I mean, it's only a couple of days ago, is it, that we saw... Clegg was sort of potentially going to be the kingmaker. It was, you know, would he go with Labour, would he go with the Tories? I mean, what a change that has.
What do you think about his approach in building up to this election, like in terms of the BBC debate he chose not to go? Kind of, do you think that was a strange choice? Or?
Well, sorry, Clegg or Cameron?
Yeah, Clegg, yeah.
Clegg. Well, I think he probably... I mean, I think they always knew they were going to lose some. I mean, Danny Alexander losing his seat, I think, was always on the cards. But I think this is... I mean, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see the breakdown in terms of those areas with a high number of student votes as to what impact the... You know, despite his massive mea culpa, to what extent he actually lost votes from young people who felt they'd been cheated, and not unreasonably. So I think there's that would be interesting to see. But I think that he had a much more... I mean, I suspect that they still didn't think they were going to do as badly as they have done. Equally, I think the Tories must be cock-a-hoop. I mean, I know he was going on saying it's only 23 more seats, but do you think they ever really believed they were going to get them? I don't. No, I think But I think, as I blogged earlier, I think the thing here is this is what happened with Major, that it was a complete turnaround, and the Tories ultimately came out. This is something that's been alluded to before. Again, I think it was Kellner alluded to people who don't actually tell the pollsters what they're going to do. And I don't think that's unusual. But I think the size of the voting for the Tories and the gains they've made... Miliband, I actually thought, had quite a good campaign, frankly. Yeah. I thought he'd really done quite well. He came across well. He didn't make mistakes. I mean, these days these things are so carefully choreographed, it's difficult to. But I think in his case, he did particularly well. Now... Heaven knows where he's going to be. I think, you know, the suggestion he could be out by lunchtime today may well be the case.
I think then if we identified the Lib Dems as the big losers of the night, the big winners surely have to be the SNP. Absolutely. And we've seen the landscape of the political landscape of Scotland has changed probably forever. I think it is as momentous as that. Mm. I mean, where has this come from? Where has this surge
come
from?
Well, I think you saw it. I mean, I think that Salmond played a very clever card in terms of what he managed to get from Cameron in terms of the referendum last year. I think I think, what is it, there are now 130,000 members of the SNP. There are, you know, compared to the Cycling Club of Great Britain has 100,000 members. I mean, I think that says a lot. They're the third largest political party by membership. He enthused people. I mean, I colleagues who work here as Scottish have sort of suddenly got really excited about the whole thing in a way that I've not seen, you know, grown men get excited about voting for many years.
Certainly, I think, I think you're right in saying that. I mean, Salmond has played his cards incredibly well. The imminency of this general election too. The referendum has certainly played hugely in his favour, and of course he himself has won a seat in Westminster. I think perhaps the SNP now will be looking, you know, they've talked a lot about locking the Conservatives out, but whether that will be possible or not remains to be seen.
No, I mean, Cameron's got a, you know, he's pretty much got 326, and with the DUP he's almost certainly there. And once you take away the SNP, who won't be voting anyway, Sinn Féin, who won't be voting, then in fact he's I'm not saying home free, but he's certainly in a good position. The next step then, I suppose, is that what are the SNP going to do in terms as an opposition? Their idea was they were going to be in opposition to the Tories.
We've seen, like you say, the progression of SNP from the last election, now building on this. Could we strike sort of similarities between the SNP and UKIP and going forward? Because you say, like, the Scottish people were getting riled up by Salmond, and he was getting people excited about voting with, like, kind of patriotism. Do you think...
I think it's a good point about the sort of, you know, going back to the point we were making earlier about the voting power of UKIP compared to the representation they're actually getting. But I think the Scottish have, you know, they're overwhelmingly made a case that there is a, you know, look at the map. There's, what, one red blob there, I think, and one yellow one. What colour would you call that? Anyway, amber. You know, so we're running out of colours for these people. So I think that's another issue, that whether they've got enough weight to actually start getting what they want. I mean, does Cameron really need them? I think that's the other thing. He doesn't actually need anybody else really, except the DUP, who are fairly natural allies.
Following on from the UKIP story, we're looking at, of course, of Nigel Farage. His seat is yet to be declared, but UKIP, we've mentioned, of course, that they're not going to get the voting power. However, would you say that they had won a small victory in terms of their national distribution of votes?
Well, I think they have done, as we were saying, in the sense of the number of people who voted for them as a proportion of the total population, and they've got a case in terms of the lack of representation. I mean, I think the issue now is going to be what's going to happen with the referendum on Europe. Cameron's committed to it. I think, you know, are we going to see HSBC moving offshore and all the rest of it? I think there's a lot more to play for now. And I think the UKIP is only one part of it. Can Cameron really get the other 28 nations to agree to his view?
And going forward, I know it's a bit soon to look forward 5 years, but now with the Conservatives seemingly moving towards a majority with DUP, are they... they've got no one to blame next time. The Lib Dems can't lose any more seats, can they?
As you say, I think that's a question for 5 years' time, and I think that's the point at which we can probably all say, well, I think, you know, we know what's happening now, and now's the time to say goodbye, to quote Peter Cook and Dudley Moore.
There we go. Can't say more than that. All I can say is goodbye. I'm knackered, and it's been fun.
It has indeed. Thank you very much, Geoffrey. Thank you very much.
Thank
for
you.
Your
can I just
opinion?
Say how much I've enjoyed it? It's been a great experience for me, and I've been very impressed with what you've done and what everybody else has been doing with the blogging and the video and the people we've had out on location and the rest of it. And I think it's been actually probably more fun than when I last covered a general election. Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much, Geoffrey, for your expert opinion. Thank you very much.
This has been Smoke Radio wrapping up on Westminster Election Live. We've had a fantastic time. Thanks to everyone for getting involved on hashtag WeLive2015. My name's Cassie Galpin.
I'm Josh McKenna.
And I'm very tired.
And thanks to everyone who's been behind the scenes. You've all done a fabulous job. Thanks to all of our reporters and contributors across the country and locally, as well as in our studios at Harrow.